We'll be doing Bhagavad Gita Yathadok. Bhagavad Gita Yathadok, as you know, it's a scripture that was given by the God Himself, the Supreme Power, Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. It was given at the Kurukshetra, the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So we all know it was spoken amidst a war is about to begin, and Krishna is giving the sermon. He's giving the sermon when everybody is in chaos, everybody is in confusion, in tension, especially Arjuna. Arjuna is in confusion. He is in stress and depression. He cries. He says, I don't want to fight. I don't want to fight with my own kinsmen. I don't want to have blood on my hands. So he refuses to fight and he leaves everything aside. He leaves his Gandhi on one side and he sits down. He says, I don't want to fight. So he's in confusion. And then the first chapter is all about his confusion, about the inspection of the armies, observing the armies on both the sides. And then he is in confusion. At the end of the chapter it says, he submits to Krishna. When the second chapter begins, he submissively says to Krishna, I am in confusion, kindly guide me. Kindly guide me what to do and what not to do. How should I go ahead in my life? What should I do? So he says, I am totally confused. Let me give everything to you and submissively ask you. Shishasyam shadimam swam prapannam. He says, I become your disciple. We won't understand Bhagavad Gita unless we become a disciple. A disciple means being in discipline. That's what Arjuna shows. Because the Bhagavad Gita, the Krishna is known as Leela Purushottam. He teaches us by his pastimes, all the Leelas. So we got to understand from him, from his pastimes. That is very important. Every pastime has a significance. Every pastime is giving something for us, some knowledge for us, some message for us. So unless we become a disciple, disciple means being in discipline. That's important, being in discipline. Sometimes people ask, why so much regulated principles? Why do we have to follow so much nails? Why do we follow being such so much discipline? Because unless we are in discipline, we have regulated habits, we won't understand Bhagavad Gita. So Arjun declares himself to be a disciple. He says, I am your disciple, kindly guide me. And then Krishna starts the sermon there. Real sermon begins then. Then Arjuna understands what he is saying. So Krishna says to him, he gives the knowledge of the body and soul first. Second chapter is totally about the matter and the soul. Soul is the consciousness. So matter is dead. The body is dead. It is living unless the soul is, until the soul is inside, the body lives. When the soul goes out, the body dies. The body is just a dead matter. But the soul is the real consciousness. So this is our consciousness, Prabhupada says. Srila Prabhupada, the founding acharya of his cult, he says, our consciousness is the one thing that plays the role, you know. The chetana, the soul. Unless we work at the level of soul, we will never be satisfied. We all are looking for peace and happiness. Everybody present here, I believe, you all are in search of peace and happiness. The first thing we ask somebody in a lecture, we ask them, what are you looking for in this world? What are you, what is your aim in life? They all say peace and happiness. That's right. And so they don't say, I'm looking for God or I'm in search of God. They say, I'm in search of peace and happiness. Krishna declares in the second chapter when he tells Arjuna, Nastir buddhuri yuktase nastra yuktase bhavana na chabhavata shantira shantasa kudasakam. He says, unless your buddhi, your intelligence is connected to me, you will never have Nastir buddhuri yuktase nastra yuktase bhavana na chabhavata shantira shantasa kudasakam. You will never be at peace unless you are connected with me. The day you get connected to me, the day you have your relationship strengthened with me, a bond with me re-established, you will be at peace. And when you will be at peace, shantasya kutasukam. And without being at peace, there is no happiness. He tells Arjuna, Mahari Rajan, there is no happiness unless you are at peace. And the peace is at the shelter of my lotus feet. That's what Krishna declares in Bhagavad Gita. So as I said, earlier we got to have the faith, an unflinching faith like Arjuna. Arjuna had full faith in Krishna, a deep faith, that is called Shraddha. It's not just the trust, it's the faith that builds the bond. So we have to reestablish our bond with Krishna. Krishna has so many things to declare in Bhagavad Gita. Unless we are a disciple with unflinching faith, we will not understand them. He says in Bhagavad Gita in the 9th chapter that it is the Param Guham Gyan. Param Guham Gyan means it is the most secretive knowledge. It's a knowledge that is so much revealed, yet so secretive, we can't understand. You will say, well, I've read Bhagavad Gita so many times. I've got this Bhagavad Gita in my home. I read it quite often. I've completed it so many times. 10 times I've read it. I've read it 100 times. I know it. We meet so many people saying that. But still, in your life, in their life, we don't find a trace of Bhagavad Gita. A trace of Bhagavad Gita means the understanding of Bhagavad Gita. Even the grandson, as I belong to a Sikh family, I had a chance, I have been into the Guru Granth Sahib as well. There are so many, if there are any Punjabis there, they would understand. So in the Granth Sahib, what it says, Veda Kateva Koho Mat Jutha, Jutha Jona Vichare. Don't say the Veda Kateva, they are lies. They are not lies. The Vedas are not lies. Veda Kateva Koho Mat Jutha, Jutha Jona Vichare. Lies are those persons, those don't ponder on them. Those who don't go into the depth of them. Unless we go into the depth of these scriptures, we won't understand them. If you want to get pearls from the sea, you have to dive deep into the sea. It's just on the upper surface you will get any diamonds or the pearls. You have to go deep into them, deep into the sea. So the mind, you go deep into the mind, you get gold and diamonds. So that is the way how we go around with these scriptures. So how do we go to the depth of the scriptures? So the depth of the scripture is there, that works is our Shraddha, our deep faith. I have faith in Krishna. So that faith, how it shows? When I put Bhagavad Gita into practice, that is the faith. Unless you put Bhagavad Gita into practice, we don't have any faith. Just coming for a Sunday darshan is good. Not, it's very much better than having no darshan at all. It's very good to have a darshan. But giving your life to Krishna or working on his instructions is the best what Krishna wants from us. That's what he tells Arjuna. Give your mind and intelligence to me and then fight. He says, do fight, because this is the establishment of Dharma, which I'm going to do now. So do fight, but surrender your mind and intelligence to me. That is the real surrender. That is working for Krishna. That is serving Krishna. That we give up our mind and intelligence, man and buddhi. You see, when we come inside a temple, it's a ritual, like being Indians, most of the Indians we know. We follow our parents, we follow our ancestors. When we enter a temple, gurdwara, or anywhere, we just bow down before the Lord. That's a practice, it's a ritual for us. Have we ever thought, what does that mean? We just bow down, we pay obeisances, and we walk out. Or we sit for some time and then walk out. What does that bowing down mean? Paying obeisances mean? It means I'll leave my intelligence now and take up your intelligence. That's why we touch our heads to the floor. But now I shut off my intelligence. I won't work with my intelligence. Please give me your intelligence so that I may work ahead. So I understand you. So that's the purpose behind bowing down. That's the purpose behind paying dandavat. But we have just taken the superficial ritual. So we have to go beyond the rituals, you know. Prabhupada says we have to go beyond the rituals. We have to transform our lust into love for Krishna. That is real consciousness. That is the real Krishna consciousness. When we shut up our lust. Lust is for worldly things, you know. We are after fulfilling our wants. We have forgotten to fulfill our needs. Our needs are long time they are fulfilled, you know. You don't have to endeavor much to fulfill our needs, but we are running after our wants. So that wants, those are the lust. That's the lust. So Srila Prabhupada says, transform your lust into love for Krishna. Our lust should be so much, we should get rid of the lust, that it becomes the love for Krishna. So how does the lust become the love for Krishna? It becomes when we give up our mind and intelligence to Krishna. It's the false ego when we want to do according to our mind. That is Manmukhji. We want to be Manmukha. Krishna says in the 11th chapter, 55th shloka, don't be a Manmukh, don't be a mental speculator. We want to be a mental speculator. Mental speculation means, oh, my mind says I want to do this. I like this, so I want to do it. My mind. We are under the control of the mind. Yesterday I did an audio-visual presentation with the young boys. That was, I did them with out of mind control. So out of mind control is really what? We are, 99.9% of us are controlled by mind, you know. We are under the control of our mind. So the day we control our mind, that will be conquering the mind. Krishna says in the 6th chapter, when Arjuna asked him, Krishna, mana is chanchala. Krishna, Arjuna says to Krishna, my mind is very chanchala. My mind, it sways around, it runs away like faster than the wind even. So our mind is like that. We are sitting there, but our mind may be thousands of miles away. Our mind will be in India somewhere. Our mind will be with our children, with our wife, with our business, with our job, anywhere it can be. It leaves us and goes away. So the body is there, but the mind is not there. So Arjuna was asked specially by Krishna, give me your mind. Because the body is under the control of mind. So if we have an uncontrolled mind, what does that lead to? An uncontrolled mind is a big disaster. It can make us a rapist. We can commit murders. We can commit a suicide. That's the result of an uncontrolled mind. Violence, tension, depression, stress, anger. These are the results of uncontrolled mind. And at the end, what does an uncontrolled mind makes us? It makes us a loser. We all want to be a winner in life, but we end up becoming losers. So we don't want to be a loser, we want to be a winner. So how do we become a winner? We become a winner, we get a clear intelligence, we get the cool mind. How do we get it? When we get connected to Krishna. Krishna says, you surrender to me and then I'll see to it that the Maya doesn't trouble you. So that's all is Maya. Maya is, what does Maya illusion mean? Illusion means that all things that take us away from Krishna, that take us away from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is Maya, that is illusion. It can be the riches, it can be the any small thing even. Even a poor man can be in Maya. It doesn't mean necessarily a rich man is in Maya. A poor man, a middle class man, they also can be in Maya. The Maya means that it takes away from Krishna. That diverts us away from Krishna. That diverts our mind from Krishna. Our intelligence from Krishna. So Maya we should not be. Krishna says, Devaishi Guru Maya, Mam Maya Dharatya. He says, my Maya is very difficult to cross over. So how do you go ahead with, how do you defeat my Maya? So he says, you can defeat Maya when you surrender to me. So surrendering to Krishna again means going according to the instructions of Krishna. Going according to the instructions of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Srimad Bhagavad Gita is the word of God. As I earlier said, he spoke these 700 verses. Where did he speak them? He spoke them in the Kurukshetra, a place of battlefield. So that brought relaxation to Arjuna. Arjuna was relaxed. Arjuna could see at the end of these 700 verses when spoken, he could see what was good for him and what was not good for him. Krishna did not tell him forcefully, do this. He said at the end, yatha itti tatha kuru. He told the ugly side of the coin and the good side of the coin. He showed both the sides to Krishna, or to Arjuna. He showed him, if you don't fight, this will be the result. If you fight, this will be the result. And then Arjuna could see, that's what happens when we have a controlled mind. The controlled mind brings a crystal clear picture, a clear intelligence. So a clear intelligence is the one where we can see the dark side and the good side. So that's what, when we get connected to Krishna happens, we get a clear intelligence. And that's what happened with Arjuna. Arjuna was told, yatha itti tatha kuru, whatever you wish, now you do it. Sometimes people come and ask, oh, when there is a thief, that means he is stealing things. Krishna is making him steal the things. So they blame Krishna. They're saying he is making him do this thing. It's not that. कृष्ण तेज इन भगवद गीता लघु तीन शास्त्र सर्वत्र चावेदी सर्वेश्वर मत स्मृति ज्ञान अपौलन छ विदेश सर्वेर हो वेदा वेदांत वेद वेद विचार He says, I'm seated in everyone's heart in the form of Paramatma. I guide them as they wish. Whatever their desires are, I guide them according to their desires. If they want to remember me, I guide them in such a way that they remember me. But if they don't want to remember me, they want to forget me, I guide them in such a way that they forget me. That's what Krishna does. He works according to our wish, according to our desire. The deep desire in our heart that is embedded in our heart, in the depth of our heart, which even we are not clear about it, but Krishna knows it. He knows that desire of ours and He works according to that desire. If we had a very strong desire in our heart, at the depth of our heart, to serve Krishna, so Krishna makes all the plans that we are put into His service. But if we are superficial in our desires, oh, I want to serve Krishna, but it's just bluffing my friends and foes, like I want to bluff them. I want to look like a devotee, but at heart, oh, I want to go out and enjoy the path. So Krishna makes all the arrangement that we are stuck with that association. So if we really want to serve Him, Krishna makes all the plans, He brings them here. It says in the Granth Sahib even, Bin Paga Satsang Nalavijaya Bin Satsang Mayada Parijaya Bin Paga means, without your destiny or without the punya, without the pious activities in your account, you will not find a satsang. Satsang means the association of the devotees. You will not find the association of devotees where they are glorifying Krishna. So association of devotees you get because you have lots of pious activities to your credit. And bin paga satsang na lagije, bin satsang maine parijejiyo. And then it says, without the association of devotees, you will be filled up with the dirt. Man is the dirt. Dirt of the material worldly things. You will become all the more like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Chaito Udapanam Majanam Bhagma Dabhagini Nirvapanam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that how do we get rid of the dirt of our mind, the dirt of our heart? How can we get rid of that? By chanting the holy name. So that's what even the Granth Sahib says. The Guru Nanak Dev Ji says, it says, Mutapaliti Kappara De Sabun Layadhe Variyamat Papa Ke Sangho Dope Naave Kena. It says, our dirty clothes, dirty body can be washed off with soap and water, but not the dirty minds. The dirty minds have only one way we can get rid of them. We can cleanse them with the holy name, with the chanting of the holy name. So when we chant the holy name, we cleanse our dirt, we cleanse the mind, the polluted mind, they get cleansed. So when once the polluted minds are cleansed with the holy name, chanting of the holy name, then we can easily surrender to Krishna. Because our mind is, Krishna says in to Arjuna, make the mind your friend, not your enemy. Uncontrolled mind is the enemy and the controlled mind is the friend. So how do we go ahead making the mind our friend? The mind becomes our friend when we work according to the scriptures, according to the shastras. When we do what the shastras are saying. So now you would say, who has written these shastras? Who does know that these shastras are the most accurate? The shastras are the most accurate because these are the shabda pramana. That means the evidence, shabda evidence. These are the word evidence. Why? Because you see Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, what it was given as 5,000 years ago it was given by Vyasa Devji. But the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is no edition of Srimad Bhagavatam, a second edition or a third edition. It's the same that has been coming along in the last 5,000 years. And still it is the most authentic. Whatever is given in Srimad Bhagavatam is still today the truth of the world. There are so many things in the Bhagavatam. It says about the time cancellation. It tells about the birth of a child, how the child is conceived. It talks about the decimal to the mathematical calculation. And it's accurate still today. The scientists have proved today that there are many Earths. But the Srimad Bhagavatam says there are millions of Earths. There are millions of universes. Our scientists have been able to prove it today. Our scientists, our doctors have been able to prove just 50-60 years back by the help of ultrasound and x-ray that what is the position of the child in the mother's womb. But the Srimad Bhagavatam has given complete knowledge of that 5,000 years ago. It talks about the how the child is conceived in mother's womb. It talks about how from day one till the ninth month, what happens with the baby, how he comes out. It's the full description is in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we can't defy Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam talks about the Kali Yuga. It talks about the age of quarrel. This is the age of quarrel going on. It's the Kali Yuga, we all know that. So Kali Yuga has been well described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam says, in Kali Yuga, people will be lazy, people will be arrogant, people will pick up fights very easily, people will have loss of memory, loss of concentration power, and that's true, we can see it. As the Kali Yuga is advancing, as the Kali Yuga is advancing, we can see what is happening. It says clearly in Srimad Bhagavatam, divorce cases will be on rise. People won't be able to stay under one roof. Two families won't be. One family, your joint family system will be finished off. Even the nuclear family will be gone. People won't be able to live under one roof. Even husband and wife, it will be very difficult to stay under one roof. There will be conflict of ideas. That is the age of quarrel. That is the purpose of age of quarrel. We can't defy it. We can't fight against Kali Yuga. We are helpless jivas. We are helpless entities. Only with the help of Krishna we can fight with Kali Yuga. Krishna says, Mam Maya Durasya. When I tell the Kali Yuga to leave you, then it will leave you. It has been specially said that Kali Yuga has no entry into the places where we are talking of Krishna. Matyat Matyat Prana Bodhyate Parasparam Katyantus Chamamrityam Tushyati Charanamanti Cha. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, wherever two people talk about me, or they talk every time about me, all the time they are chanting about me, they are chanting my name, they are discussing me, I am always present there and I give them happiness and peace. Tushyanti cha ramanti cha. They are always at peace and satisfied they are, because I am with them. So when there is Krishna, at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, wherever I am, Shri, that is Lakshmi, is there. But we people are so ignorant about the fact that when Deepavali comes, what happens? We worship Lakshmi and Ganesha, we forget Krishna. We know she is at the feet of Krishna, at the lower feet of Shri Krishna. But then also we are not bothered with her, with him. We only want Lakshmi. Because we are in search of money. Lust is the role that plays. We want to fulfill our needs, wants. So to fulfill our wants and lust, we need Lakshmi. So we give our full worship to Lakshmi, full focus on Lakshmi. That's the day we want Lakshmi to enter our house. But we are so ignorant that if we worship Krishna all the time, we chant his holy name all the time, what will happen then? Wherever Krishna goes, Lakshmi will follow him. He assures us that she is my maid servant. She is Dasi of Krishna. There are Asankhya Lakshmi, Kota Lakshmi. There are six Karoda Lakshmis, crores of Lakshmis. And they are at the lotus. They are serving Sri Krishna. They are serving Sri Krishna like a maid servant. And Krishna assures, wherever I go, they come with me. But we don't want him. We clearly show that. We want the things, but we don't want him. We want the things from him. We want everything in this material world from him. Because he says, Am Sarvasya Prabhu, Mata Sarva Pravartate. He says, everything emanates from me. I am the doer of everything. Everything is coming from me. So what do? We come to the temple, Saturday, Sunday, the weekend. We come to the temple, we bring a list of things to the temple. We bow down before him, pay obeisance, and then pray to him, kindly do all these things for me. During the week, I've got so many things for me lined up. Please help me to do that now. Please, my children, I want them to be, they grow up, they get a job, they do their studies well. So, I want nothing should, I should have all the sukh, everything in my life as it is. I don't know any distress, I don't want. So please help me so that I may have a very nice life. A nice life full of all worldly things. I should have a lot of money to fulfill all my worldly desires. But then Krishna says, oh, I'll come along with you. We say, no, no, you remain here. We don't want you. We want the things. So we want you to serve us. We don't want to serve you. That's what we have in our mind. When we enter a temple, what that's in our mind? We want to take the service of Krishna. We don't want to give service to him. We don't come here and ask him, but kindly give me some service. Kindly give me some enlightenment so I may serve you. So my family would serve you. So my children would serve you. They become your devotees. But we say, oh no, I want my son to get a lot of money. I want him to be the best in the company, you know. But I don't want him to be, we don't pray for him to be a devotee. The day we start praying this way, that please give me some service. I want to serve you. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll be an instrument in your hand. The Krishna will really enlighten us. He will really take our surrender. But then the surrender has to be from the heart. Because the Kali Yuga, as I said, is the age of hypocrisy. We all are hypocrites. We don't want to be hypocrites. Prabhupada says, don't be a pseudo-devotee. Become a devotee, but not a pseudo-devotee. A sincere devotee. Sincere devotee is same at the heart and at the bodily platform is the same. So outwardly appearance and the inwardly, the devotee is the same. We've got this human form after crossing through 84 lakhs of species, you know. Lakh Chaurasi Yoni Brahmate Payo Durlabha Janam. So now we have got this human form. After crossing over 84 lakhs of species, 30 lakh species of animals, 9 lakh aquatic species, and so on. We were tree, we were insects. We have crossed all that and then we have reached this human form. So let's not waste our human form. This human form is very difficult to get. We have spent millions of years to get this human form. And these precious 65 to 70 years, because the human life is not more than that now. Some may live till 80, 85 or 90, but the average is 70, 75. So after giving up millions of years, we got just these 75 years. And in those 75 years, nearly, who's all are sitting here, they have nearly finished off within half of them. 30, 35 are really gone away. Or maybe some are younger than that. So they, we have really lost those years. But now the remaining years are the only what we have. So let us not lose that in a gamble, you know. Let's not play the gamble. No gambling now. Don't lose your life, the remaining years like that. We have utilized those years for the service of Krishna. Unless we do that, we again fail to serve the purpose of human life. The purpose of human life is to serve Krishna. Vai prapata manakata hiriya govinda minarkiye tiribariya avara kaja kite na kaamila saadu sangata bali kevala naam sarjamalaag bauchalke janam prakha jaya maya hetke. That is the Guru Granth Sahib. It says, vai prapata manakata hiriya govinda minarkiye tiribariya. Now you have got the human form. Now what is the purpose of the human form? Vaiprapat manak dehriya govinda milanakiye teribariya. This is the time, this is the only chance to meet Govinda. Because in the human form only you can meet Govinda. You can't meet Govinda Krishna in any other form. In the animal form, insect form, tree form, mountain form, you could not meet Krishna. It's impossible to meet him. It's impossible to go back to him in that form. Only in a human form you can go back to him. So let's not waste our human form. Human form is very important. It's a treasure we have got. So let's not lose it. But still, we are in ignorance. We listen it every day, but we fail to understand. So for this, it's written, it says in the Shastras, we should follow like in the school we send children and we say, learn ABCD. So there is an ABCD for devotional life also. To surrender to Krishna or to achieve the full purpose of human life, we got to do four things in our life. That's the ABCD of sadhana. So ABCD is the first A. A means association of devotees. We should always be in the association of devotees. Devotee means those who have devoted their life to Krishna. Those who are full of devotion for Krishna. So devotion in Hindi we may say is prem mein seva. Prem mein seva means serving Krishna with love. That is devotion. That's Rupa Goswami says. Devotion means serving Krishna with love, not without love. Like you would say, oh, our ancestors, our parents, our grandparents, they have been serving Krishna at home. They have the deities of Krishna, Radha Krishna. They serve them. But have you ever noticed what they do? Without offending anybody, we've seen them doing it. It's just a ritual everybody does it at home. Just it's a 10-minute agarbatti a diya, it's fast work. And if have to read something, some scripture, they just read it like a parrot. So it's over. It's like that. I've seen it myself. They do it that way. They begin and they're finished with it within 10 minutes. It's going, you don't understand a word of it. So that's the ritual. Where is the love in it? You will never inculcate love in that. So if you don't understand the word yourself, how will you have love for Krishna? How will you have love for those deities? You're not serving them with love. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Desham Sata Yukaram Bhajanta Priti Purukam Dadami Buddhi Yogantam Yena Maam Upendite. He says, Bhajantam Priti Purukam Desham Sata Yukaram, those who remember me always with love and affection, I give them the intelligence to come to me. You see, the intelligence has to come from Him. We do everything He gives us. So, He has to give us the intelligence to go back to Him. But when does He give the intelligence? That's the question. He gives the intelligence to those who are serving Him with love and affection. We serve our families with love and affection. We serve our children with love and affection. We serve our spouses with love and affection. But while coming to Krishna, we don't have any love for Him. We just have a duty towards Him. An obligation, that is. Just a ritual. So that's what Krishna expects from us. Love and affection. So to inculcate that love and affection, we've got to have ourselves amongst the devotees. That the association of devotees is necessity. If we really want to serve Krishna. So we should always look for the association of devotees. Those who are in devotional service. So B is book reading. Reading Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. That's the B. So in devotional life, if we want to go ahead in spiritual, advancing spiritual life, we should be reading Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is a necessity to read. Every day reading a shloka, not understanding if you're, you just get into the association of devotees to understand it. Listen to it. Come to the classes. Listen to it and you will understand it gradually. So that is the book reading. Don't ever leave book reading. Read while before going to bed even, read the Krishna book. Read the pastimes of Krishna. So you may have a sound sleep. You may have a sleep where you have dreams of Krishna. So that's the book reading. C is the chanting. Chanting the holy name. Remembering Krishna always. That is the chanting. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Japa Yajna Asmi. I am the Japa Yajna. Among all the yajnas, I am the Japa Yajna. So in Kali Yuga only the chanting of the holy name has been advocated. It's in Satyut Sati Prenda Yogi, Dwapar Yuga Puja Acharya Tali Keval and Namahar. In Kali Yuga it's only the chanting of the holy name that will take us back to Godhead. If we really want to go back, if we really want to go out of the 84 lakhs of species, we never want to go back into the cycle of birth and death, then only one thing that will take us out is the chanting of the holy name. In Kali Yuga that has been advocated. In Satya Yuga it was the meditation for thousands of years. In Treta Yuga it was the yajna, sacrifices. In Dwapar Yuga it was the temple rituals that will take us out. But then in the Kali Yuga it's only the chanting of the holy name. So the name is very important. The chanting is very important of the holy name. So unless we chant, we won't go back. So chanting is just not a repetition. It's just not a mechanical thing. You may say, oh, it's mechanical. Just repeating those words again and again. But when you will repeat those words again and again, you will really feel yourself that this is not a mechanical thing. You can really experience God. You can experience Krishna. So that's it. And then there is the D. D means the diet, prasadam. The diet is very important. The diet should consist of only prasadam. Prasadam is what? That has been offered to Krishna. That is the leftover of Krishna. You put a tulsi in the food prepared, put a tulsi in it and offer it to Krishna. And then you eat the offered food. When you eat the offered food, it acts like an antiseptic, you know. Then it won't affect you, the maya won't affect you. If you don't offer and eat directly, so Krishna says then, you are a thief. It says in the Gurbani even, it says that these all are Anadesa, Lunadesa, Avinidesa, these are all demigods. The fire god, the salt god, water god, these are all Agni, demigods. We have a lot of debt towards them. How do we repay their debt? Their debt has to be repaid. How do we repay it? You see, you get electricity in your house, every month you get a bill for that. But there is a huge sun is there. It doesn't ask for a bill from you. But we have our duty towards that sun. We have our debt towards him. So how do we repay that debt? When we water the roots of the plant, what happens? The whole plant levels up. You just don't water the leaves, or you don't water just the branches. We have to water the root. So Krishna says, when you water me, when you offer it to me, then whole debt is repaid. Then we don't have any debt left to pay. So our account will become clear. If we go away from this world with a debt to be repaid, if we have taken a loan and we have gone from this world, then we have to come back to repay it. We have to nil our accounts. You know, if you have a loan from the bank, you have to nil it. So that's the same way. If we have to repay our debts to these demigods as well. And there are 33 crores of demigods. So where is the time to repay their debt? We don't have time, enough time to repay their debt. So the only way to repay their debt is just offer ourselves at the service of Krishna. When we satisfy Krishna, all are satisfied. We know that Anajot, when Durvasa Muni came with his 10,000 disciples and he wanted to have prasadam, food at Pandava's house. But then Draupadi was in a fix. She could not serve him because the akshepa she had already eaten. And she had that akshepatra from where she could satisfy as many as guests in her house. But once she had eaten, she cannot serve from the akshepatra. That was the boon for him, like she could not do that. So now she called Krishna. She remembered him and the Krishna said, bring that akshepatra out. And when that akshepatra, she said, oh, I've eaten. He said, no way, you get it out. She got it, and in that there was stuck one grain of rice at the bottom. So Krishna took that one grain of rice and he ate it. As he ate it, Durvasa Muni with 10,000 of his disciples was satisfied. He said, oh, we are no more hungry, we are leaving now. And they ran away. He said, we don't want anything to eat now. We are satisfied. So that is Krishna. When we satisfy Krishna, everybody is satisfied. He is known as Rishikesha. He is the Swami. He is the master of his senses and our senses. So our senses, he is the master. So what is the role of a servant? The role of a servant is to serve the master. So our role, the role of our senses is to serve the master. So that we should be aware of. Then we have to serve the master. And master is the only one that is Shri Krishna. Supreme Personality of God is Shri Krishna. So if we have that faith, we will understand Bhagavad Gita. So that's the right approach to Krishna. So if we really want to serve Krishna, have faith in him. Have full faith in him and serve him. Ask for the service. The best way to ask service from him is to chant the holy name. That is, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. How many of you know why do we put up our hands here? Some, maybe the new ones here, they won't be knowing. Why do we put up our hands when we say Hare Krishna? Anybody knows it?
Because we want to Krishna is in our heart.
He is there in our heart, but why do we lift our hands up? Yeah, that's, we just put up an exhibit. We exhibit Sarandav. No one is really among us, maybe hardly one or two, those really are Sarandav. We are otherwise putting up a show to Sarandav. So when we try to put up a show, ultimately we will surrender one day. But there is an anecdote, there is a story of Draupadi. So Draupadi was helped by Krishna when she really lifted her hands up here. When she cried for Krishna. Draupadi, we know she was very much close to Krishna. He is known as Krishna and she is known as Krishna. She is the friend, deep friend of Krishna. So Draupadi was put to test. She was to be disrobed in the courtroom. She was brought, she was dragged to the courtroom where she was to be disrobed. And Krishna was not present there. Krishna was in Dwaraka with Rukmini, with his wife Rukmini. And Rukmini sees that Krishna is very much disturbed. She asks Krishna, why are you disturbed? Then Krishna says, my dear friend Draupadi, she's in trouble. So Rukmini says, why don't you go? Why don't you go and protect her? Why don't you save her from the trouble? He says, because she doesn't have faith in me. She has no shraddha in me. She is not calling for me. Then because Draupadi had full faith in her five husbands, she thought, my five husbands, so powerful husbands, won't let that happen to me. How can these five husbands let me get restored in the public? But when she looked towards the five husbands, such powerful husbands, such strong husbands, they just put their heads down. They were helpless. They could not help her. Then she looked towards the Gurujan, the Pitama, and the Guru, Dronacharya. She thought they would help her, because they were the elderly people sitting there. And she thought they would not let this happen to her. So Krishna tells Rukmini, now she has faith upon them. She has faith on the elderly present in the courtroom. Then Draupadi's shraddha, it transfers to herself. When she sees they are also helpless, they turn their faces away. Now Draupadi thinks she can herself help her. She clutches the sari with both the hands. And when she does that, she thinks, I am a yajna putri. I can really save myself. She was born out of a yajna, fire sacrifice. She had a lot of strength in her, but she failed. She failed at that. She had to leave one hand first and then she let both the hands go. Krishna tells Rukmini she has strong faith in herself now. But when she lets both the hands go away, she puts and lifts both the hands up and she cries for Krishna like a helpless child. She says, hey Krishna, Raksha Ma. Hey Krishna, please come to my rescue. And Krishna is present there within less than a fraction of a second, he is there in the form of vastra, in the form of sari. And she is saved. So that is how when we lift our hand and we cry for Krishna, we say we are helpless in this Kali Yuga, we are drowning in this Kali Yuga. Please come and save me. Please come to my rescue. Then Krishna really comes. So first we have to cry like Draupadi. We are unfortunate sometimes. We think we are very strong. We have a family. We are very secure with our family. We are very sheltered with our family. I've got a lot of money. I've got a big bank balance. I've got this. I've got that. I'm secure. Fully secure. Nothing can happen to me. When we feel that way, Krishna won't come. Krishna only helps them. Those who really cry for him. Those who really say we are dependent upon you. We are totally dependent upon you. That doesn't mean that we don't work, we don't do our job, we don't do our business. That means whatever we are doing, we make Krishna a part of it. He becomes the pivot of it. Not only a part, the main part, the central part of our life. Everything revolves around him. That doesn't mean we don't do a job or a business, we leave our jobs and business and sit down just chanting. No. We do our jobs, we do our businesses, we do everything just as it is. But we add Krishna to our life. Krishna becomes the center of our life. He becomes the focus of our life. He becomes the aim of our life. We eat when we offer it to him. We eat only the remnants. So we offer and eat. We chant his name in the morning. We do service to him. We part with the money. We part the percentage of our earnings, be part with it and put it in his service. That is the way to make Krishna the center of our hearts. The real Agrastha ashram is the ashram. Ashram means where we sit, where we join together and do the service to Krishna. That is an ashram. And as we are in the Agrastha ashram or a Brahmacharya ashram, all the ashrams mean serving Krishna with love and devotion and making our family also serve Krishna. That is the real meaning of ashram. So we end up here. Any question anybody has, they can ask me. Hi Krishna. Anything you want, anybody wants to ask anything regarding today's lecture? So that's the way to surrender to Krishna, and I expect everybody present here should take up to the chanting of the holy name, the ABCD, and if you should follow these. So these alphabetic ABCD is very handy with us, and when we follow this, so we can really serve Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, who started the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, we are indebted to him. We are always indebted to him because he showed us the right path. And he made Bhagavad Gita so simple. It's Bhagavad Gita as it is. It has been given as it is to us. It has got no conclusion in it. It's complete in itself with all word meanings, Sanskrit shlokas, and the word meanings with every word explained. How many of you present here don't have this Bhagavad Gita? That's it. I would really recommend to you, please get a copy for yourself from here, because it is complete. It's not that it is, I'm recommending this as like just for some profit or something. No. It is really spiritually beneficial for you. If you read this, many in this world have really benefited from this. They have taken to Krishna consciousness and their lives have really become fruitful. So I would request you to go ahead and get a copy of this from here. And there's another book that I would like you, like, it's up to you. Those are especially Punjabi present here. There's a book called Vaishnava Teachings in Sikhism. This is compiled by me. It talks of Guru Granth Sahib and of Bhagavad Gita Bhagavatam. It gives what is the meaning of the Vaishnavism, exact meaning Vaishnavism taught in Granth Sahib. So I have compiled into this. Everything that becomes easier for, sometimes it becomes from Punjabi family, it becomes difficult to take up Krishna consciousness. But I've explained why should we take to Krishna consciousness? Even in the Punjabi, we chant Vaheguru. Do you know the meaning of, are there any Punjabis present here? No, that's a good number. So we chant Vaheguru. What does that word Vaheguru mean? Yes, Sohi. Yeah, that's it. Do you know where it's written? The evidence? You can preach to somebody? No. So there we fail. When somebody asks us, where's the evidence? Give the evidence. So if we don't have the evidence, so we fail in our preaching. So the evidence in this book I've quoted, it's in the Vara book. There's a the author of Guru Granth Sahib is Bhai Gurdas Ji. Guru Arjan Dev Ji was narrating Granth Sahib and he was writing. So Bhai Gurdas Ji has written a book called Vara himself. In the Vara book, the verse 49, he writes about this. Then what does the word Vaheguru mean? He says that word Vaheguru means Baba Vishnu Ha Hari Ka Govind Ra Ram. So you are right in that. And it's in detail, it says, Satyuga Satyagur Vasudev Baba Vishnu Nama Japave Dwapada Satyagur Hari Krishna Ha Ha Hari Hari Nama Japave Trete Satyagur Ramaji Rara Rama Jape Sukhapave Kaliyuga Nanaka Guru Govind Gagga Govind Nama Lave Chare Yagya Chahu Yugi Panche Vich Jaya Samaye Chahu Akshar Ik Karvaguru Japa Mantra Japave Jahe Te Upadya Firatahe Samave. It says in Satyoga, the Vasudev, the Vishnu incarnation, the letter V of Vaheguru reminds of Vishnu. In Dwapara Yuga, Hari Krishna appears, the letter H of Vaheguru reminds of Hari. In Treta Yuga, Ram appears, the letter R in Vaheguru reminds of Ram. In Kaliyuga came Nanak as a guru and made everybody chant Govinda. The letter G reminds of Govinda. Thus the four yugas have concluded this. The four letters combined together to form this mantra. By chanting this mantra, the living entity goes back from where he has come. So this is the meaning of Vaheguru. There are lots of more things given here. And especially the Vaheguru, where it is mentioned in Granth Sahib. In Granth Sahib it's mentioned in Kamal Nayan Madhur Bhai ne quote from the same show Ma Jasod ji se kehet hai Dahi baat khaye jiyo Vaheguru Vaheguru jiyo. So Kamal Nayan Madhur Bhai ne quote from the same show. He's got lotus like eyes. Kamal Nayan Madhur Bhai, he's got a beautiful smile. He's out of the millions and Mother Yashoda is running after him with Dahi and Bhav. He is Vaheguru Vaheguru Vaheguru. So that's it. So if anybody wants to take a copy of this book, they can take it from me. Yeah, later on after the class. So we finished up here. Anybody has any questions from the Bhagavad Gita we did just now? So I would thank you all for attending the class. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavad Gita Yatharupa Ki Jai. Shlokaupad Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna.